AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. The debt ceiling suspension bill is ready for a House vote this evening. We'll find out what that means for other legislation that has been detoured for now. And it's Wednesday. That means it's time for this week's Farmer Forum. And we've got an issues-packed agenda ready for this week's conversation.
Live from the soggy Southern Outpost via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with former Ag Committee Chair Colin Peterson. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Brent Johnson and Howard A.V. Roth. Right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Yes, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk. Wow, what a show.
What a show.
This is crazy. Colin Peterson, former chairman of the House Ag Committee. Brent Johnson, the current president of the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation. Mm-hmm. A.V. Roth, who is a past president of the National Pork Producers Council. So,
wow,
you want to talk about a group that is ready to hit the issues. We've got a great, great lineup coming. So,
heavy
I'm
hitter.
Excited.
Yeah, you sound excited.
I
That's
am.
Awesome.
I
Good
am.
You.
I'm very
yeah.
excited. Yes. You know. I don't know if I want to call this beautiful weather. Did you say soggy? Southern Outpost?
A little soggy. A little soggy.
Really?
My phone says we've gotten 9/10 in the last 6 hours. It looks more like an inch to me. You know, I know what 9/10 of rain looks like. This is an inch.
It's a full inch. Wow, good for you.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no. The only thing that I've got up here that I can mention weather-wise is a thick layer of pollen. Over
Ooh.
Everything, over
really?
Everything outside. Yes, yes, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. We just haven't had any rain. We haven't had any moisture.
No.
A lot of times the humidity will prevent that from happening, but we haven't even had humidity to prevent it from happening.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, unbelievable. All right, we've got a lot of news to get to. Let's get to it.
Well, let's do start with the weather, where USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey is looking back at May. And notes some farmers are still concerned about drought, saying, quote, it's been dry over much of the Midwest during the last 1 to 3 months. Depending on where you're at, Rippey says 26% of corn acres, 30% of cotton, 20% of soybeans, and 47% of wheat acres are in some level of drought.
Yeah, it's obviously something that the markets are watching, but willing to wait for further developments before getting too concerned about the crops.
Well, the GOP White House debt limit deal, if enacted, will have a direct bearing on how much farm bill writers get to spend and how they shape farm policy to meet the growing needs of producers over the next 5 years. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who raised the possibility of a no new money farm bill at one hearing, told farm reporters just before the debt limit and spending deal this.
The overall spending of the farm bill is directly related to what the top line that comes out of these negotiations. If there's agreement for more work requirements, it's going to make it easier for those of us that want work requirements, that it would override a lot of Democrats saying they don't want any work requirements at all.
A no new money farm bill, kind of like the sound of that, but I don't know if we can get there or not.
We are going to talk about funding of the farm bill, and we will definitely talk about what the work requirements for SNAP in the debt ceiling means for the farm bill going further. And I think it clears the path, but we'll find out from Colin.
Well, the major U.S. stock indices are mixed as May ends. The tech-heavy NASDAQ is up more than 6% heading into the final session of the month, driven in large part by the explosion of artificial intelligence. The Dow is down more than 3%. And the broad S&P 500 has risen only slightly in May.
Yeah, we've got the S&P 500 is now down 35.8 points. That's 0.85%. The Dow is off 270 points. I'm not sure if there's concern over the debt ceiling package or what, but the markets are under some pressure today.
Well, a couple of things here. Home prices rose in March for the second straight month as a shortage of houses for sale spurred competition among buyers. Meanwhile, mortgage demand in the United States has hit a three-month low. The U.S. dollar index hit its highest level since mid-March, with European inflation news and China's demand picture knocking the euro to its lowest level in 2 months. The yuan is now more than 3% lower from its early May peaks, skidding to its lowest level of the year against the dollar. USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs Alexis Taylor will lead an upcoming trade mission to Japan. The delegation will include a large representation of American ag, including businesses, state ag departments, and commodity groups. Chip, the Indian economy expanded 6.1% year-on-year in the first quarter, higher than an upwardly revised 4.5% in the fourth quarter of 2022, and well above market forecasts of 5%. The expansion was mainly boosted by private consumption, services exports, and manufacturing amid easing input cost pressures. Chip, India is going to be a country to watch.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those countries that is high on the list of potential markets for U.S. ag products.
Russia's war on Ukraine is increasingly spilling into Russian territory. The governor of Russia's Belgorod region, which borders Ukraine, said four people were recently injured in a massive strike there. This is the latest in a series of strikes against Russian targets by Ukrainian forces. Over to you.
Yeah, counteroffensive is underway. Yep. We'll see how the markets respond to it. Thanks, Davis. Let's get the latest on what's happening at Anuvia from Margie Echelkamp, editor of The Scoop.
Good morning, Chip, and good morning to all our AgriTalk listeners. Yeah, we've got a story that we've been following since late last week when we saw some posts on social media from former Anuvia leaders saying that the company was going to be shutting down its production and its business. Now, Anuvia was based in Florida. They actually started at their former Mosaic facility in Plant City. And their technology was all about how to transform waste, organic waste, through a proprietary process into fertilizer. And they specifically had honed in on a way to make that new fertilizer really fit into current production practices. Now, the company has been working on that technology for 8 years. They've struck some major deals with folks, including Mosaic, into their product called Sestera. And then they also had struck a deal with Novozymes to develop a product that would help deliver different biologicals and micronutrients on the Anuvia granule. They'd also had some deals in ag retail, including Nutrien, Southern States, Wedgeworth's, and others. And so really, this news is coming that they are immediately shutting down. We have heard some reports that assets, technologies, IP, and such would be available for sale. But Anuvia, a company that was really on a pioneer in trying to bring forward some new nutrient management technologies, is no longer, and we will continue to report any other additional updates as we get them.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Margie. Get more of that story at www.thedailyscoop.com. Let's talk debt ceiling and farm bill with Colin Peterson next here on AgriTalk.
The Scoop on AgriTalk is brought to you by Taranis, committed to moving the acre forward. To drive more value from every acre, visit acreforward.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
A lot. That's why we get the people on the show that we get on the show, so that we can learn about what is happening and the direction of the issues that really matter to your business, your ranch, your farm. And we're hitting on all eight cylinders today, Davis. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Colin Peterson is the former chairman of the House Ag Committee and founder of the Peterson Group. He joins us right now. Chairman Peterson, welcome back to AgriTalk.
I'm glad to be here. How you guys doing?
Doing real fine, real fine. The last time that we talked, you were fairly confident that 2023 would feature an extension of the Farm Bill. Has anything happened to change that outlook with the debt ceiling?
Yes. I think the most significant thing that's happened and maybe will happen is it looks like the work requirements for SNAP are going to be dealt with in the debt ceiling bill. And the leaders of the committee, it looks like they're taking that off of the table. So that's probably the most significant thing that could have happened because that's what killed the last two farm bills, you know. So I think it's huge what happened there. There's Democrats complaining about it. There's Republicans complaining about it. But that was, I think, a very good thing.
The fact that we've got both parties complaining about the work requirements on the on the SNAP benefits probably means that it's a well negotiated piece of legislation, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think this issue has been overblown, you know, and there's a group out there that's pushing this that gets it stirred up. We've had work requirements since 96. Okay. So this is not anything new. One of the problems is we haven't done a very good job of actually administering the program. So, if you don't have a job, you've got to be trying to get a job in order to qualify for benefits. So that's a whole other issue. But, you know, this has been something that's been a big political issue. Republicans, you know, if there's work requirements just put forward, they can't afford to vote against it. And the Democrats, you know, will vote against anything that requires anything in that area. So taking this off the table is a huge plus for getting this bill done. And I'm now somewhat optimistic that this is going to happen because all of the leaders of the committee are committed to getting this bill done. They are working together well. You know, I think the only stumbling block now is you've got all these folks coming to the table that want additional money for new programs or existing programs. And you've got people out there pushing hard to bring extra money into the farm bill process. Man. But given what's happened with this debt ceiling on the other side of this, I think it points out how difficult it's going to be to get any additional money beyond the baseline into the process because Republicans are not going to stand for any revenue increases, and Democrats, I think, will probably not stand for any spending cuts. And the other thing is, you know, to try to take money from one part of the farm bill and put it in another, I think, is also a big problem. So, you know, so that's the other issue, I think, is going to be a bugaboo.
Yeah, and the CBO score was way above the baseline, right?
Yeah, it didn't help anything the way they scored this. And, you know, I've had trouble problems with them in the past, you know, on their scoring. I don't know how they come up with some of this stuff. but it was not helpful to the whole situation. And like I say, there's so many groups now that are coming to the table that have not been there before, asking for money, asking for to become part of the mandatory spending, you know, and I don't know how that's going to happen. So whether people are going to be willing to stand for, you know, kind of a status quo bill and to make some changes within each title, that's going to be the question. You know, it's there's kind of a simmering dispute out there that's a valid situation. So you got some of the southern crops that have a whole different situation than the people in our part of the world. We have had relatively higher prices, you know, so we've been able to deal with these input costs better. But in the South, you've got rice who have not seen any increase in their price for their products, and they've probably had higher increases in input costs than anybody else. And so you've got a difference of opinion, I think, about how any money should be spent, and that's also going to be difficult to untangle.
Okay. Is there going to be an attempt, or is there any room to raise the reference prices on the safety net?
Well, that's kind of what I was getting.
Yeah.
I think that rice needs an increase in reference price. You know, okay. I think that's a valid situation. Not so much for corn and soybeans. I think my own view is that any new money there probably is better spent in crop insurance, you know, and not in our part of the world. But that's going to be the issue, whether how they're going to untangle that whole thing. But, you know, just a 10% increase in reference prices is $20 billion.
Jeez.
You know, and in the case of corn and soybeans, there's not going to be any money, in my opinion, that's going to be paid out in the first 5 years of this farm bill to corn and soybeans.
Okay.
You know, so you're putting a whole big price tag on something that's not going to benefit producers.
Okay.
You know, so how do you, you know, that's going to be the big issue.
Okay. Talking about moving some money around, could they pull in the money that was spent by USDA on the climate smart farming projects, put that in the conservation title and count it as part of the baseline?
No.
Okay.
First of all, it can't be done. Second of all, Millsack is going to object, and I think Biden will object.
Okay.
So I don't see that as a, you know, so you're, the other issue that you got out there is this whole CCC.
Yeah.
Funding situation that started back under President Trump when he used the CCC for the market facilitation payments.
Right.
That's kind of what started all of this stuff. And so now when they can't figure out how to get something through Congress, you know, the administration is just using the CCC as a way to get around that. Some of the Republicans like that, but I remind them that some of these same guys that are complaining now wanted to double the CCC funding from the $30 billion that's been there forever to $60 billion because Trump was maybe going to bump up against it. Now, when Biden is using it, now they want to get rid of it.
You know? Yep.
So there's, yep. You know, it's questionable in both cases about whether this really, this is not what it was intended use. You know, but, you know, I don't think anybody at this point is going to be able to change it because one of the things that the administration did in Millsack is that they have every major ag company in the country as part of this climate change stuff or climate smart grants. So who's going to take them on? You know, so I'm not sure that's going to be a dog that's going to hunt there.
But. Okay. All right. So bottom line it for us. What are the odds of getting a farm bill done this year now?
Well, I think they've improved significantly, but I don't think it's a slam dunk at this point. You know, as people look at this, you know, some folks in the Midwest, not all people, but some of the people in the Midwest look at this and say, well, you know, this law isn't perfect, but we could live with an extension. I think in the South, that's a different situation.
Okay.
You know, so how that's going to play out remains to be seen. But there is a lot of momentum to try to get this done. And I think the members want to get this done. One of the things that bothers me is I think a lot of them are counting on new money.
Yeah.
And I still see, I find it very hard to believe that they're going to come up with a way to put new money into the farm bill.
Okay.
It's going to actually work.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah. Literally 30 seconds left here. Should they be looking to at legislation to override California's Prop 12?
Yes. Yes. I think that is something that they should look at. Whether it's going to sustain in the court system is a question, because we've kind of been through this before on eggs. But, you know, we should not allow one state to try to use their economic power to make the rest of the country follow whatever they think. So
right.
I think that's a bad precedent and should be tried to be changed.
Excellent. Excellent. Chairman Peterson, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you guys for what you do.
All right. That is Colin Peterson, former chairman of the House Ag Committee and founder of the Peterson Group. Farmer Forum next.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, some follow-through selling in corn and soy complex. What's going on?
Yeah, the selling pressure got really heavy during overnight trade, Chip. But, we've come well off our overnight lows, but still trading to the downside here. So more fund liquidation, technical washout, those types of things. Money flow is flowing out of the long side and into the short side of these markets. Outside markets are negative and kind of just a general risk off day. So, I think the close is going to be important today with everything that's going on around the grain and soy markets.
Yeah, and don't look now, but July HRW wheat futures are trading higher, well off the
lows. Yeah, trying to pull everything higher. In wheat, along with the other markets, has come off its lows, and like you mentioned, HRW is working to the upside, so we'll have to see if that can persist here or not as we move into afternoon trade.
We've got some fantastic follow-through buying happening in the lean hog market after a limit up in the front three contracts yesterday.
Yeah, and we finally moved the June contract back premium to the cash index, and unusually was trading below it, but we fixed that yesterday and extending that today. Even seeing strength in some of the deferred contracts and strong gains there. So we'll have to see if that persists or not. But based on price action yesterday and this morning so far, it looks like maybe lows are in place there.
Yeah.
A pretty quiet trade in the cattle market this morning. Just waiting on cash cattle trade to develop, and futures are trading well below the cash market, and then feeders are supported by the weakness in corn.
Good stuff, Brian. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It is time for this week's Farmer Forum. And after the update on what is happening in D.C. regarding the debt ceiling and the farm bill, we've got a really good couple of guys on here to give us their impressions on what they see happening with the farm bill going forward. First up, Brent Johnson is a farmer over in Calhoun County, and he is the president of the Iowa Farm Bureau. He joins us right now. Brent, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Very good. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning. Did you miss those really heavy rains that fell over in your area, what, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, I've missed a couple of them. Even last night, I could see it raining from my place, and there was some reports of 4 to 6 inches locally just east of me. It's the same band that happened a couple weeks ago. So there's certainly several guys over here who have got a nice shot, maybe too much. And then, in my ground and further west, we have yet to see a drop. So it's haves and haves nots again, and it continues to be that way. So,
holy smokes. I didn't realize that you are dry or getting dry.
Yeah, we had really nice planting conditions. We had some rains early on coming out of winter, which really helped the top 6 inches, and planting conditions were absolutely beautiful. And then, you know, it turned cold for a while, and we had some uneven emergence, but we haven't had any rain for a while here. And you know, it's some of the corn's starting to stress already, as little as it is. And we all know how important a good day means to a corn crop.
Yep. So you wouldn't turn the rain down. I know there's guys over in your area that are saying no moss already and really getting getting pounded. So, okay, well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it's really all over the board over here. But,
we're
off to a good start. Things look really good, but if it doesn't rain here, my place in West, we're going to run into a situation pretty quickly.
Okay. Let's bring in Howard, A.V. Roth over in Wisconsin. A.V., it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Just a reminder to everyone, A.V. is a former president of the National Pork Producers Council. A.V., what about your spring? How's things going?
It's been a great spring. Crops are all in the ground here. Things are coming along. Just like most people, don't have a lot of rain here either. Could use it at any time, but we're not. Everything looks good now, but it's like you said, you give it another week or two, and things could turn bad pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. We just had Colin Peterson on, and guys, he was very much in thinking that there was going to be an extension of the 2023 of the farm bill in 2023, that it would get pushed out to next year before anything would really get done on it. He's less pessimistic on it now. I guess I should say more optimistic that they could get something done now that the work requirements on the SNAP benefits are being handled in the debt ceiling bill rather than in the farm bill. Brent, I know that you're watching the farm bill process very closely. What have you seen that you like, and what have you seen that's got you less than impressed in this whole process?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that's an exercise in futility, it seems like, sometimes with some of these conversations. But, you know, this impending farm bill is highly important. And, you know, I'm pretty optimistic, fairly optimistic that we can get this done this year yet. You know, on the politics around that with Stabenow and some of those players that want to see this happen. So with some of this heavy lifting out of this debt ceiling conversation, I think it does crack the door open to be able to get something done appropriately. But, you know, really, as far as Farm Bureau's priorities goes, you know, we're not really looking to change a whole lot of things. Crop insurance is by far our top priority, and maintaining the safety nets that's in the farm bill is right there too. And And probably the one thing that we're paying them closest attention to try to keep it out of the farm bill is all the climate conversations and you know, the conversations that I've had with GT Thompson and others. You know, I've got commitments from them that say that this next farm bill is not going to become a climate bill. And I intend to hold them true to that.
Good, good, good. Now, some of those climate smart, you know, quote unquote, climate smart farming practices that that are part of USDA's program, Brent, those are things that you've been doing on your farm over there for a long time, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think back to when I was a kid, I remember, you know, my dad and my grandpa putting me in a tractor with a plow, and the three of us were moldboard plowing and turning things black. And that's what a good farmer did back then. And, and you fast forward through a couple generations, and here we are strip tilling, no tilling, reducing inputs and finding ways to maximizing outputs. And we've done that all simply by being the innovators that farmers are naturally. And so, you know, that trend is going to continue. We continue to do good work, make progress, take care of the environment, produce more so that people around the world can feel safe in their food security and clothing security, all those things that really make creature comforts what they are in today's world. And farmers are right at the front step of that door.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. AV, what about you in the farm bill? What do you see that you like? What are you less than impressed by?
The biggest one is just the size of it. Gets kind of scary when you talk about $1.5 trillion for a farm bill.
Yes.
Some of the things I want to make sure we keep in there is just that vaccine, the funding for the vaccine bank. That's something that got into the last one for, you know, foreign animal diseases, you know, like ASF, and getting in here and having that vaccine for that is extremely important. The other one that I'm looking forward to is that catastrophic insurance, you know, for hogs and things like that. That's something that we're working really hard to get in there, and hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Chairman Peterson just said that, hey, you know, the farm bill ought to be looking at including legislation that would or could override things like California's Prop 12, Massachusetts Q3, where states are determining production practices in other states. I got to believe that you would be supportive of that.
100%. That's one of the things that came out of that case, is that the judges have turned over that it needs to go through Congress. Yeah. And so Congress, you got to stop turning their backs and saying it has to be a court thing. Time for them to step up and get this done one way or another.
Yeah. And farm bill seems, Brent, the Prop 12 has a huge impact on the economy of Iowa. What is the farm bill, the right piece of legislation for that language?
You know, I'm not sure. I'll take it in there if we can get it in there, but I'd sooner handle this issue on its own. I mean, this concept of interstate commerce and other states regulating other states, that's something that is, quite frankly, in my opinion, unconstitutional in the way that things, we don't do that here. And you know, this court decision was really disappointing, and the split in that courts was confusing, but legislative pathway forward is the only way to get this done, and you know, that's quickly rising to the top of our priority list as we understand this court's decision and finding those pathways to take care of this issue. You know, it doesn't just relate to livestock. This could radiate to so many other aspects of daily life for Americans on all scopes, and we need to take care of this issue, and we need to do it properly. And I hope that we can get some bipartisan support to fix this kind of an issue. But, you know, we've got our work cut out ahead of us. That's for damn sure.
Right. Right. Yeah. California, if they wanted to, they could say, listen, we need widgets, but we only want widgets that are produced by those making at least $15 an hour or whatever. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's $30 an hour. Then all of a sudden, the widget manufacturers on the East Coast are up in arms because they can't make widgets with that kind of cost. That's the kind of things that this could lead to if it is not handled legislatively. And AV, what is the effort? Where does it stand to get this this piece of legislation done?
So there's a lot of things that MPPC is doing right now. Some of them I probably can't say, but the one that concerns me the most is out there in Massachusetts. Not only are they saying you can't eat pork in that state unless it comes from the same kind of rules as Prop 12 is, but you can't even drive it through their state. But that throws a whole nother thing into it, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things. Yeah, if this can get done, the Farm Bill, great. But there's legislators now, and now is the time to really get this push and get through. There is support from legislators. I've heard it multiple places. And if we don't, just like you're saying, it's not only that, but what's it going to be? So does Iowa not allow any cars being made in sanctuary cities?
Right.
Or, you know, there's a lot of things you can start putting out there.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, and if Prop 12 had that you know, movement rule that Q3 does, look what that would do to pork exports out of the country. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're going to continue the conversation with Brent Johnson and Howard A.V. Roth on the Farmer Forum next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us for this week's Farmer Forum. We've got Brent Johnson from Iowa. He is the president of the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation. And Howard A.V. Roth from Wisconsin, former president of the NPPC. A.V., I was thinking about that conversation about Prop 12 during the break. And it came around, I mean, the state and the condition of this hog industry, the financial struggles are real. The rules and the regulations, the burdens from those are real. Where does that leave this industry right now, AV?
So one of the things that NBC was in the back of their mind is we wanted to stretch this court case out as long as we could. It gave farmers that wanted to do the Prop 12, that gave them time to build their buildings, get what they needed done once they figured out the rules, get the contracts laid out. So we hopefully did what we could that way to slow that down as much as we can. Still trying to slow it down as much as we can and work with California so that the rules are as good as we can work with. Other than that, with the industry, yeah, it's tough. Right now, there's dollars being lost. We hope it doesn't continue as long as it can. I mean, that's why we're always in PPC is working to establish more exports to different markets. Was just on a trade trip down to Mexico. Okay. You know, right now trading with Mexico has never been better.
Good.
And that's the other thing, this Prop 12 that we haven't talked about, is what's that going to do with Canada and Mexico?
Yeah.
You know, Canada brings in a lot of pork in here, and they put an amicus brief together that they could come back and, you know, do through the World Trade Organization and do some stuff, or with the USMCA, and have some pushback on this.
I'm it not, just
Yeah.
It just seems so unrealistic that California auditors are going to be inspecting farrowing operations in Canada to certify that the hogs from that operation are eligible for export into California. It just seems ridiculous to me.
100% agree. And if I was a Canadian farmer, am I going to allow that? Heck no. I better be able to sell into California.
Right.
Or why do I have a free trade agreement with them?
Exactly. Brent, all this is, it's just, I mean, the tentacles on this Prop 12 run in all different directions, don't they?
No doubt about it. I mean, it's easy to think that Prop 12 is just about hogs and maybe chickens, but you know, like you said in the first segment, I mean, this is about widgets you know, AV talked about cars being produced from sanctuary cities. There's really no limit on this way of thinking. And, you know, it's really bad. It's not American. It's not the way that capitalism should work. And we need to find a solution for it.
Right. Let's talk a little bit better news out of the Supreme Court. The waters of the U.S., the significant nexus is out, and the connected surface to a larger body of water is in. Brent, that's good news. It means EPA's basically got to start over on the final rule, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they should do. What they will do, we'll all learn in time. But, you know, I had, you know, talking about these two court cases, I had myself all wound up with previous rulings that we were going to have a favorable situation with Prop 12. And then we got what we got, and I became really nervous on the WOTUS rule.
Yep.
And so to hear the Supreme Court come out with the rule that absolutely made 100% sense was a real comfort for us farmers in Iowa. You know, that the rule that was written, it would have regulated 97% of the state's land mass. And that's ridiculous. And so to have connecting surface waters as being defined as nexus, and you know, that's something that's clear, it's definable, and we can work with that. And you know, we're certainly going to continue to bend the EPA's ear and make sure that, you know, as they interpret this ruling and continue to work towards this WOTUS rule under the Clean Water Act, that they continue to bring something that is
right,
logical, and that we can take action on. Because the rule that was there before was actually impeding progress. We weren't able, we as farmers, I had practices on my own that I was waiting to see if it would qualify or not qualify, and that really got in the way of progress out here.
Yeah. AV, it's a relief for the hog industry as well that the Biden rule was thrown out.
Oh, absolutely. It had overreached what they needed to do, and I'm glad that at least they got that right with the Supreme Court. So,
yeah. You know, that's the big thing right there. And yes, it was a bit of a confusing ruling because there was a decision within the decision. So the decision in the Sackett versus EPA was 9-0 that EPA figured out you're overreaching, you're doing things in ways that you shouldn't be doing it. The significant nexus ruling was much tighter, 5-4. But nonetheless, the court in general just basically said, quit legislating how this is done and just implement. And I think that's a great ruling there. Brent, real quick, expecting good news in the final RVOs, the final renewable volume obligations, the blending requirements?
Well, I hope so. I mean, that's become a political football. And you know, we've had some big numbers in the past, you know, this past release. And, you know, we're certainly doing everything we can to push that forward. And you know, renewable fuels, it's become absolutely vital to all farmers across the entire state, the Midwest. I mean, we've got over 40 plants here, and you know, half of the corn of Iowa goes into ethanol. So we need to have that industry solid.
Exactly. Guys, we're out of time. I think we could have talked a lot longer. Brent, thank you so much. Appreciate your time today.
You bet. Thanks, Chip.
All right, AV, same to you. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Brent Johnson, president of the Iowa Farm Bureau, and Howard A.V. Roth over in Wisconsin. Come back this afternoon. We've got Rupert Williams right here on AgriTalk.